Today is Tuesday, April the 7th, and you are listening to the World Socialist website. Trump sets Tuesday night deadline for the massive war crime against Iran. Patrick Martin, April the 6th, 2026. The United States is on the brink of a moral and political catastrophe. This is the inescapable conclusion to be derived from Donald Trump's press conference on Monday. The language of the press conference speaks for itself. Trump declared, in the midst of a series of homicidal statements, that the US military would destroy Iran as a country if its leaders did not immediately surrender to US demands. "The entire country can be taken out in one night," he bellowed, "and that night might be tomorrow night." End of quote. Before a worldwide television audience, Trump put on display the frenzy that he had previously vented with obscenities on social media Sunday morning. Quote, "We have a plan because of the power of our military," he said, "where every bridge in Iran will be decimated by 12 tomorrow night, where every power plant in Iran will be out of business, burning, exploding, and never to be used again. I mean complete demolition by 12. It will happen over a period of 4 hours if we want it to." End of quote. He continued, "It will take them 100 years to rebuild. Right now, if we left today, it would take them 20 years to rebuild their country, and it would never be as good as it was." End of quote. Every word Trump said implicates the government of the United States in a crime of Hitlerian proportions. He says openly what the Nazi leaders discussed behind closed doors. That is a measure of the decay and degradation of world capitalism in the 21st century. The press conference began with nearly an hour of non-stop celebration of the prowess of the US military and the supposed, quote, "courageous leadership and ironclad determination" of President Donald J. Trump. As Secretary of War Pete Hegseth declared, in the unctuous flattery that has become mandatory for US cabinet officials. Trump then took questions, although he prefaced this by threatening to jail a reporter who first reported that only one of the two airmen on an F-15 warplane shot down by Iran had been recovered. This report was based on a leak from the Pentagon, Trump claimed, and an investigation had been launched to identify the leaker. Quote, "We will go to the media company that released it, and we are going to say, national security, give it up or go to jail." End of quote. There were further threats and denunciations of the media, even though the press conference was largely packed with right-wing podcasters and other sycophants who thanked Trump effusively before they posted their, quote, questions. Trump declared that he was reviving the principle, dating back to barbarism, that, quote, "to the victor go the spoils." Having defeated Iran militarily, he claimed, the United States should charge tolls for the passage of tankers through the Strait of Hormuz. If it was up to him, he said, the US would seize Iran's oil resources. Asked what Iran had to do to meet the deadline of 8 p.m. Tuesday, Trump replied, quote, "We have to have a deal that's acceptable to me, and part of that deal is going to be we want free traffic of oil and everything else." End of quote. Another reporter asked, quote, "You said glory be to God in this conflict. Do you believe God supports the United States' actions?" Trump replied, "Because God is good, and God wants to see people taken care of." End of quote. A strain of fascistic Christian fundamentalism ran throughout the utterances of Hegseth and others. In his own remarks to the press conference, Hegseth presented the rescue of the second airman on the F-15 as a Christian parable. "Shot down on a Friday, Good Friday, hidden in a cave, a crevice, all of Saturday, and rescued on Sunday. Flown out of Iran as the sun was rising on Easter Sunday, a pilot reborn, all home and accounted for, a nation rejoicing. God is good." The Pentagon chief went on to declare, quote, "Per the president's direction, today will be the largest volume of strikes since day one of the operation. Tomorrow even more than today. Then Iran has a choice. Choose wisely, because this president does not play around. You can ask Soleimani, Maduro, or you can ask Khamenei," referring to leaders murdered or kidnapped on Trump's orders. In response to a handful of pointed questions, Trump spluttered in anger. "What is your response to critics?" he was asked. I don't care about critics, he said. Are you concerned that your threat to bomb power plants and bridges amounts to war crimes? Trump replied, no, not at all. End of quote. Trump heads a regime that operates outside of all legal constraint, the criminal underworld in power. The logic of escalation is inexorable. Intensified bombing, the invasion of Iran with ground troops, the occupation or destruction of major cities, and in the face of mounting US casualties, the resort to nuclear weapons and hell, which Trump constantly threatens against the Iranian people. Implicated in a crime of monumental proportions is not just Trump and his administration, but the entire ruling class and its political system. Trump can declare publicly his intention to destroy the social infrastructure of a country of 93 million people, sending it, quote, back to the Stone Age, and there is no serious opposition, either from the other major powers on the planet or from within the ruling class of the United States. The corporate-controlled political system in the United States is incapable of placing any check on this policy of aggression and mass death. The Democratic Party, after being largely silent for the first month of the war, now declares that Trump is a madman, carrying out war crimes. House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries called him, quote, disgusting and unhinged, while Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer called Trump, quote, an unhinged madman, adding, he's threatening possible war crimes and alienating allies, end of quote. But no Democrat has proposed any action to halt this criminal war. They treat the narrow Republican majorities in the House and Senate as though they were unassailable, although if conditions were reversed, a Republican minority would easily blockade a Democratic president. Instead, Bernie Sanders pleads impotently, Congress has got to act now, end this war, end of quote. Nor has a single Democrat suggested that Trump and his partners in war crimes should be held accountable before any international tribunal. Last fall, a group of Democratic senators and representatives issued a video appeal to US military personnel, advising them of their responsibility not to obey illegal orders. But now that illegal orders are raining down from the White House and Pentagon, they have fallen silent. They have not told the military brass that a future Democratic administration will prosecute those responsible for war crimes, because that future administration would be engaged in its own imperialist schemes for which it would require the full services of the armed forces. If Trump carries out his threats today, April 7, 2026, will live in infamy. It will be remembered as one of the great crimes of the modern era. Whatever the next turn in the war, a line has been crossed. This war has demolished for all time the pretense that the United States is a democracy. It brands the Trump administration as an outlaw regime. It condemns the oligarchy as a ruling class that has outlived its historical justification. It must open up, in short, a period of social revolution. Fortress Europe claims 70 more migrant lives in mass drowning in the Mediterranean. Robert Stevens, April 6, 2026. The European Union's murderous anti-immigration agenda claimed the lives of scores more people over the last week. On Saturday, at least 70 migrants died in the Mediterranean Sea after their boat capsized off the coast of Libya. Only 32 survived on the small wooden vessel that was filled with at least 100 people who left Libya hoping to enter Europe. Those who survived said they were rescued not by any coast guard, but by a commercial ship, which took them to the island of Lampedusa. There is no end to the grotesque suffering faced by desperate migrants attempting the perilous journey across the Med. In the early hours of April the 1st, the Italian Coast Guard recovered 19 bodies from a migrant boat adrift around 85 miles off Lampedusa. 58 people were rescued, but 5 were reported to be in critical condition. A spokesperson for Doctors Without Borders, the MSF, and the International Organization for Migration, IOM, said they appeared to have died of hypothermia. Survivors said that after their boat broke down, they were drifting for several days in severe weather. The boat left Western Libya around March the 30th, containing migrants from African countries, including Sudan, South Sudan, Sierra Leone, Gambia, Nigeria, Ghana, and Ethiopia. Europe's governments have all but ceased monitoring and assisting small boats attempting the crossing. This task is largely being carried out by a few charities run by volunteers such as Sea-Watch. The organisation said a recent surge had seen at least 100 deaths in just the 3 days to April the 1st. Among these were another 19 victims of hypothermia, including a baby that drowned when their inflatable boat capsized off western Turkey on April the 1st. According to Deutsche Welle, 21 were rescued. Scores more would have perished in another incident had they not made it to an abandoned oil rig, Euronews reported Sunday. Quote, a Sea-Watch rescue ship arrived in Lampedusa Saturday carrying 44 migrants rescued from an abandoned oil rig in the Mediterranean. The rescue group said the migrants were on the oil rig, Didon, in the waters between Tunisia and Libya after taking refuge to escape a storm. The migrants had been on the rig since Wednesday. Vast numbers of deaths take place after boats leave Libya headed for Europe, as its ports operate as transit points for refugees fleeing Asia, the Middle East and Africa, leaving behind home countries devastated by imperialist war and grinding poverty. Those who manage to escape the shores of Libya represent a small minority. Fully 70% of the world's refugees never get further than a neighbouring state, with most contained in hellish conditions, in slums and refugee camps throughout Africa and Asia. Libya is nothing more than a massive dungeon for refugees, paid for by the European Union. In February, the United Nations Support Mission in Libya and Office of the United Nations High Commission for Human Rights released a harrowing report noting, quote, across the country, migrants, asylum seekers and refugees are forcibly rounded up, abducted, separated from their families, arbitrarily arrested and detained, and transferred without due process, often at gunpoint, to official, unofficial or illegal detention facilities. There they endure prolonged detention and are coerced through torture and inhumane treatment into paying for their release. End of quote. The most recent Mediterranean deaths are part of a gruesome toll, making 2026 the, quote, deadliest start to a year, end of quote, since 2014, when the UN's Migration Agency, the International Organization for Migration, began to record this data. That assessment was made on February the 23rd, by which point at least 606 people had already been reported dead or missing trying to reach Europe. The IOM updated the death toll to 683 on April the 5th. Such figures underestimate the actual death toll in the Med. Over the past year, there have been reports of hundreds more missing at sea that cannot yet be verified. In just 2 weeks in February, 23 human remains were washed up on southern Italian and Libyan coasts, not associated with any reported sinking. According to the IOM's missing migrants data set, a staggering 34,570 refugees have lost their lives in the Mediterranean since 2014. The rising toll of mass deaths is the inevitable result of the, quote, Fortress Europe policy enacted by the continent's major imperialist powers for more than a decade. Anti-immigrant policies once associated with the far right have been adopted by parties of the ruling class, whether nominally conservative or social democrat. Fascistic forces spewing xenophobia and scapegoating asylum seekers for all social ills, such as Italy's Mussolini-admiring Giorgia Meloni, Marine Le Pen in France, the Alternative for Germany, and Reform UK, are all now part of mainstream bourgeois politics. On the mainland, governing parties are strengthening their borders with barbed wire, metal fencing, and military and drone surveillance. Concentration camps have been set up on every external border and within many member states, housing asylum seekers in the most inhumane conditions. Last month, European Parliament deputies passed, quote, safe countries of origin legislation, paving the way for mass deportations. Other legislation laid the basis for, quote, return hubs in non-EU countries to which migrants and refugees can be deported. Europe's ruling elite are systematically tearing up every post-war legal commitment to human rights laws and conventions. Politico reported last month that, quote, Germany and the Netherlands want to have plans in place by the end of 2026 for so-called return hubs, facilities in third countries where rejected asylum seekers would be sent before deportation. Austria, Denmark and Greece are also involved in those talks. Charlie Wimers, the Swedish negotiator for the European Conservatives and Reformist Group, declared, quote, there is a new consensus in Europe. The era of deportations has begun. End of quote. As they prepare this offensive, the European powers are colluding with what could lead to the greatest forced movement of refugees since the Second World War, as the US and its Israeli client state undertake the systematic destruction of Iran, a nation of 90 million people. A report written just as the war on Iran got underway by the EU's Agency for Asylum noted that, quote, even partial destabilization could generate refugee movements of an unprecedented magnitude. Making clear the response that can be expected, Social Democrat Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen of Denmark and Italy's Meloni insisted in a joint letter, quote, we cannot afford to be taken by surprise as in the past. This means further strengthening our borders, end of quote. Europe's onslaught on immigrants and asylum seekers is one foul expression of a global process. Everywhere impoverished migrants face closed borders and state-sanctioned demonization designed to divert social anger over poverty, unemployment and cuts in vital social services away from the super-rich oligarchy despoiling the planet. On February the 26th, the International Organization for Migration reported, quote, at least 7,667 people died or went missing on migration routes worldwide in 2025. This followed the nearly 9,200 deaths recorded in 2024, with the fall since then mostly due to the ending of all efforts to monitor and safeguard migrants. On the Asia and Eastern route, from the Horn of Africa to and from Yemen and Gulf countries, more than 3,000 deaths were recorded, making 2025 the deadliest year on record for migrants along this route for the third consecutive year, and including 1,540 Afghans. Workers and youth must not allow this brutality against asylum seekers and migrants to continue. It is a spearhead of a right-wing assault led by fascist and far-right forces aimed at the destruction of the social position of the entire working class and the bitter product of wars that threaten the destruction of humanity. Fortress Europe must be torn down and replaced by the United Socialist States of Europe, with the defence of immigrants and asylum seekers a clarion call in this struggle. This is conceivable only as part of a unified struggle by the international working class to end the division of a global economy into antagonistic nation-states based on the private ownership of the essential means of production, which is the root cause of wars, economic exploitation and oppression, and the destruction of democratic rights. On Saturday, at least 70 migrants died in the Mediterranean Sea after their boat capsized off the coast of Libya. Minneapolis shooting video exposes ICE lives frame up of Venezuelan immigrants. Jacob Cross, April the 6th, 2026. Newly released government camera footage has demolished the official account used by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, the FBI, and the Trump administration to justify the January 14 shooting of Julio C. Sosa Celis in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the felony prosecution of Sosa Celis and Alfredo A. Alhorna. The shooting of Sosa Celis took place at the height of the federal occupation of the Twin Cities by federal immigration agents. It occurred 1 week after ICE thug Jonathan Ross murdered Renee Nicole Good on January the 7th, and it would end up being the second of three shootings conducted by federal agents that month in the city. The third was the murder of Alex Pretty on January the 24th. The shootings provoked mass protests from Minnesota residents on January the 23rd and January the 30th. The New York Times and local outlets obtained the video and published it Monday. The tape, which does not include audio, directly contradicts the ICE agent's claim that he was beaten by three men wielding a shovel and broom for roughly 3 minutes before opening fire. Instead, the confrontation shown in the footage lasts about 12 seconds, shows only two men struggling with the agent, and shows no sustained attack with a shovel. The reason the street camera was pointed in that direction in the first place was because Valentina Tiapa, Alfredo A. Alhorna's partner, called 911 after Alhorna told her ICE agents were chasing him on Interstate 94 and appeared to be trying to cause a collision. Begging the dispatcher for Minneapolis police to intervene, Tiapa said through an interpreter, quote, "They are coming and they are just 5 minutes away." The city camera that later captured the shooting was positioned at the nearby intersection, recording the route of the chase as it came off the highway and onto their block. The report exposes not only the lies of the agents involved, but the criminal character of the entire federal operation. The federal government had access to the city-owned camera footage within hours of the shooting, Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara told The Times. Yet prosecutors filed felony charges against Sosa Celis and Alhorna without watching the video, relying instead on an ICE agent statement and an FBI agent's affidavit describing the footage. Nearly 3 weeks passed before a prosecutor actually viewed the recording, by which point the government's case was already collapsing. The two Venezuelan men were jailed and prosecuted on the basis of a narrative the government either knew was false or made no serious effort to verify. The U.S. Attorney's Office moved to dismiss the charges only days before the deadline to secure a grand jury indictment, cynically describing the footage as, quote, newly discovered evidence, even though authorities had possessed it from the beginning. The footage exposes as lies the statements made by former Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem in the immediate aftermath of the shooting. Noem publicly accused Sosa Celis and Alhorna of the, quote, attempted murder of federal law enforcement, end of quote, while federal officials branded them, quote, violent criminal illegal aliens. But the video shows Sosa Celis tossing the shovel aside before the struggle began. There were not three attackers, and there was no bludgeoning of any kind. The footage does show the ICE agent shooting through the closed door of the duplex. The bullet struck Sosa Celis's upper leg and ended up lodged inside the house near a child's playpen, leaving a hole in the front door. After the shooting, ICE used tear gas to force the couples from the home, taking the adults into custody while the two children were left with relatives. After reviewing the evidence, Minneapolis Police Chief O'Hara told The Times, quote, "It sounds like an unarmed person got shot running away," end of quote. The shooting was followed by a savage assault by federal agents in concert with O'Hara's police on the surrounding neighborhood. As protesters gathered in outrage, federal agents blanketed the area in tear gas and chemical munitions. One family attempting only to drive home with six children after a basketball game was trapped as agents set off tear gas under their vehicle. Their six-month-old baby stopped breathing and three of the children were ultimately taken by ambulance to a hospital. Local police focused on protecting the murderous and lying ICE Gestapo refused to assist the family. The exposure of the lies in the Sosa Celis case is not an aberration. The same lies were uttered following the January 7 murder of Renee Good by ICE agent Jonathan Ross and on January the 24th following the execution of Alex Pretty by CBP agents Jesus, Jesse Ochoa and Raimundo Gutierrez. Months later, as in the case of Sosa Celis, the agents responsible have faced no meaningful punishment. The agents who lied under oath in the Sosa Celis case have merely been placed on leave. Ross, Ochoa, and Gutierrez have yet to be charged with a crime. This is the American class justice system. Immigrants and workers are slandered, jailed, assaulted, terrorized, and killed on the basis of fabricated affidavits, while the armed agents of the state who shoot and lie are shielded from prosecution. It is a federal crime to make false statements in support of criminal charges, but no such standard is applied when the lies come from ICE agents, FBI agents, or cabinet officials. While Sosa Celis was not seriously injured after being shot, workers and young people continue to die at alarming rates inside ICE custody, On Monday, the Senate Judiciary Democrats reported that another person had died in ICE custody, bringing the number of deaths this year to 15 and to more than 45 since Trump took office again. This mounting toll is the foreseeable outcome of a fascistic system built on overcrowding, medical neglect, abuse and profit. Over the weekend, the funeral of Roger Perez Jimenez, a 19-year-old Mexican immigrant from Chiapas, who died on March 16 in ICE custody in Florida, was held. Speaking to CBS, Jimenez's family denounced the charges that led to his detention as fabricated, insisting he had been confused during his arrest because he did not speak English fluently. His uncle, Manuel Perez, declared, quote, "He was unjustly accused as a criminal. They fabricated a crime." As in Minneapolis, the government has advanced an account that serves only to shield itself from responsibility. ICE claims Jimenez died of an apparent suicide, but the official cause remains under investigation, and the family categorically disputes that version, demanding a full inquiry and stating that they suspect homicide. In their announcement on Jimenez's death, ICE noted that he had been screened by medical staff and answered no to all suicide risk questions when he entered the detention center. While Democrats periodically denounce the worst outrages, they do not fundamentally oppose these attacks on immigrants, which are being used to destroy the democratic rights of the entire working class and establish a presidential dictatorship. Last month, New York Senator Chuck Schumer boasted that Senate Democrats had secured a deal to fund TSA, FEMA, and other DHS functions, and that Democrats would continue fighting for, quote, serious reforms at ICE, not for its abolition, which is supported by a majority of self-identified Democrats. Schumer praised an agreement that, by his own account, would, quote, strengthen security at the border and at ports of entry, end of quote. The Democrats fundamentally agree with the Republicans on the need for, quote, border security, militarized deportation agents, and the maintenance of a vast detention apparatus, much of which they themselves helped build and expand. Their disagreements are over tactics, public relations, and political management. Even as they publicize the deaths, they work to preserve the agencies responsible, proposing only that ICE operate with masks off, body cameras on, and somewhat cleaner paperwork. But ICE cannot be reformed any more than the police, Border Patrol, or the CIA can be transformed into instruments serving the interests of the working class. These institutions exist for definite class purposes. They defend capitalist property, enforce national divisions within the working class, and terrorize immigrants and the poor. The exposure of the video in Minneapolis, together with the mounting deaths in detention, shows that the issue is not a few bad agents or insufficient oversight. It is the nature of the capitalist state itself. The defense of immigrants, democratic rights, and the lives of all workers requires the abolition of ICE and the entire apparatus of repression. That task cannot be entrusted to either capitalist party. It falls to the working class, immigrant and native-born alike, united across borders in a common struggle against the ruling class and the capitalist system. For these articles and more, go to the World Socialist website, wsws.org. For the World Socialist website, this has been Carol Diviak.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.